Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to episode 17 of the official Geek Speak podcast. I'm your host, Sean, and joined as always is my co-host, Josh Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for? Hey, Josh.
Hello, Mr. Wookie. I can't make that noise. You know this.
You should try.
I've tried. I can't.
Give it a shot. That's a new audio for the whole, that's a new theme song for the podcast. Just that. So, we've been gone for a minute. We haven't recorded in about a month. Sorry about that.
That's insane.
What?
It doesn't feel like it's been a month.
The last episode was with Bueller recording about Batman vs. Dracula. Well, we recorded ourselves the other day talking about the DCOM this episode.
That is true.
And so that's going to be just inserted in here. We'll get to that in a minute. We're back, but stuff has happened to keeping us busy. We're both doing last semester of school and college, and so we're busy with our senior thesis projects, which we'll talk about more at the end. I went to Universal Orlando and to Disney World. That's pretty fun. For my girlfriend's birthday, she worked in Disney World. I went to visit her. So, happy birthday, Nicole. And happy almost birthday, Josh, soon. You turn 22 this month.
Yeah.
Also, go check out Bueller's film from last episode, which we promoted. It's now actually out, so you all can go watch it.
Good film. Fun time.
Yes, Josh. Good film. Fun time.
I'm not lying.
You're not lying at all. The way to watch it is to go to BuellerStudios.company.site. Or go follow him on TikTok at Wholesome Film Talk. So, this week, Josh, we have some movies coming out. We got Sonic 2.
That's fun.
Dumbledore.
That's next week. That'll be a thing.
And we have this week, though, Ambulance.
I hope that's fun.
The premise is cool.
It's, like, when I saw the trailer, I was just like, huh, this could be another decent Michael Bay movie. The only good one I've seen is 13 Hours. Everything else is either mediocre or batshit insane. Transformers 2, better than Transformers 1, for both good reasons and bad reasons.
So if you're new to the podcast, hi, welcome. Stick around, please. We have a lot of fun content we provide. Sometimes it's nonsense, though, and that's always fun.
That's why people listen.
So we have nonsense. Four main topics, or four main categories. What's the word? Topics is right?
Categories.
Yeah. Sections, that's the word.
Segments.
Yeah. Four main things that happen in this episode. We usually have news, a main topic to talk about for a little bit, a Disney Channel original movie, which we'll get into in a second, and the Super Weird Story, which also sounds like nonsense at first. We'll get to there. There's timestamps down below you can skip around. So every episode we go through a different Disney Channel original movie, or DCOM for short, and we'll see how in a short period of time the biggest media company on Earth, Disney, caters towards solely children with a large sample size, and we'll see any quality changes, etc. We have watched the last one of the 90s now, officially. Now it's Horse Sense.
What a boring way to go out of the 90s.
And that section we recorded the other day, we're plopping that now, right here. This was supposed to be with Hunter's episode, and then we didn't do it in time.
That is correct. We decided unanimously that because that was a whole episode about vampires, that a movie about horses does not really fit well.
I like horses.
They're an animal.
This is our 12th DCOM so far. We've watched You Lucky Dog, Brink, Halloween Town, Xenon Girl 21st Century, Can of Worms, The 13th Year, Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge, Johnny Tsunami, Smart House Genius, Don't Look Under the Bed, and now Horse Sense. There are 113, so we have 101 more to go so far.
my back is in an incredible amount of pain. This is not helping it, knowing this information.
This doesn't hurt your back more to learn more.
Oh, like anything can. The world works wonders in stupidity.
So, this movie, Josh, according to IMDb, what the plot of this is after treating his rancher cousin shoddily in L.A., Michael Woods is sentenced by his parents to spend a month on the ranch with his cousin and aunt. I mean, kinda.
Is that inaccurate?
You tired?
I'm always tired.
Ah. Josh woke up today in a lot of pain.
The back decided it wanted to try to murder me, so I've just been in bed all day.
What's funny is it happened right after we watched Morbius. It decided to attack you after we watched Morbius Living Vampire.
I don't think there is a coincidence there. I think that it's purposeful. Jared Leto is trying to murder me.
Not Morbius, Jared Leto.
Yes.
All right, so this has two brothers playing the two lead cousins, right?
Yes.
Michael Woods and Tommy Biggs are cousins in this, played by Joey Lawrence and Andrew Lawrence.
Which one played TJ in Recess?
Tommy Biggs, Andrew Lawrence.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's the guy who played TJ Detweiler is in this. Well, speaking of voicing things and sound, before we get into this movie, into the actual content or plot about anything, there are some problems with the audio in this.
So, you know how in movies, they record the sound, they get room tone afterwards, then they mesh it all together in the edit?
Room tone is a thing that you get on set, which I know before I got to film school, actually. The idea is you record in the room you shot in, for like a scene in, with all the lights, all the actors, all the crew, everyone where it was, to keep the room how it sounded on the audio. That way, you can put that as an underlying track to a whole scene.
So that way it doesn't sound like that it's jumping from audio piece to audio piece and sounding odd.
Yeah.
They, not only did they not do that, it sounds like they ADR'd everything.
It's shockingly bad.
And for those that don't know what ADR is, that's usually like if audio isn't clear, you have to go back later in post and get the actors to re-record the lines, or there's just like explosions and stuff happening and you can't get audio in any way, shape, or form for that. This, I think they re-recorded every single line of dialogue.
Especially for Joey Lawrence's Michael, because there's some shocking scenes where
it's just
you can
off.
See his mouth moving and something's happening. Like he says something about his dad, but there's his mouth moves first, nothing comes out, and then he says the rest of the line.
You know, I think that if Disney didn't stupidly crop this movie like they have a lot of the other DCOMs, we probably wouldn't have noticed. But because it's cropped and it's zoomed in a lot closer, we get to see their mouths a lot closer, and we can tell when it's off.
We might have noticed.
But it would have been later in the film when we would have noticed.
This movie, it's the most straightforward of any of the plots of any DCOM so far.
Pretty much. Like, we've had ones like Brink, like where it's your typical, like, you know, cool kids wanting to escape but the parents just don't understand kind of story. This is just, like, you hear that plot, you know what's going to happen. Like, even if you don't know what a movie is, you know how it's going to end.
The title in this does not make any sense.
Not in the slightest.
I kind of love it, though, because at one point he, like, connects with the horse and gets all sparkly and weird. Remember that?
I do remember that.
We watched every Disney Channel original movie from the 1996 when it started, I think?
I think 97.
97? Yeah, 97 was the first. Well, we started in 98 because we couldn't find the first film in 97.
Still can't.
Still can't find it anywhere. I think Disney Channel probably buried it. But we've gone through, we've watched all of them from the beginning of them till now. We're seeing how Disney, the biggest media company on Earth for kids, caters towards solely children with these Disney Channel movies. Over a large period, sample size with a pretty short period of time, with about 20 years. And it's really interesting seeing any changes. And we've only gone up like 2 years in. This is our last one of 1999. We're finally hitting 2000s next.
What a whimper of a way to end the 90s.
And then we have Up, Up, and Away next.
Don't know what that is.
Do I know what it's about?
Sure.
It has superheroes.
Oh, boy.
It's a comedy adventure about a boy from a family of superheroes who, despite not having any powers of his own, is called on to save the world. That's sky high.
That is literally sky high. What?
Do they steal from themselves? Also, this poster is terrible.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Anyway, so horse sense, Josh. What is this film about? You can make it up. What do you think it's about in your eyes? What do you interpret of this movie?
I interpret this as a metaphor for how the downfall of capitalism will be because of the animals rising up. But only through the douchebag blonde college students will we understand this message. Am I right or am I right?
I'm going to give you an F for that one. You're a little off the mark there.
A little bit?
Just a little bit.
Damn it.
That's like when Andy Dwyer was talking about feminism in class. So, what do you think... What is the movie about to you, though? What happened?
Two brothers that are playing cousins in this film. One's a cowboy, one's a douchebag.
Sounds like a rom-com. One douchebag, one cowboy.
The douchebag treats the cowboy like shit. He promises Disney World, doesn't own up to it. After a hit and run, he's forced to go work on at his ranch. Cowboy boy wants to just be a dick to him for honest reasons. Douchebag learns what it means to be a horse.
What?
And at the end of the film, it's all good.
There is a man who named Michael and who's playing. He's 23 years old playing a 20-year-old. Looks 35. We're seniors in college. He looks far older than we are, which is shocking. He shouldn't look that much older. But he has a trip planned with his girlfriend of 2 weeks, by the way. But they're celebrating their anniversary of 2 weeks. And they're going on a trip together, and it's a huge deal and all this stuff. And he really wants to go to the French Riviera. He wears a sweater over his shoulders, like a posh boy. You don't like him very much.
The dead parent trope exists in this film.
Right. For one of the sets of parents, yes. For one single parent. And he comes there to LA to visit his cousin, who's Michael. And Michael promises in the world, we're going to go to these theme parks. We're going to go to these fun places. We're going to go to good restaurants and all that stuff. He does none of it. It's like, I've been busy. In his
for like a whole week, he's just out with his girlfriend. Then he comes home and she's like, oh, you're still here.
In his defense, though, he had plans the entire week and it should have been planned out better. That's about Well, I don't know how planned this
was. He did know that his cousin was coming. It's not like that it was just last minute drop off thing. Right.
So never mind. And then because cousin gets ditched the entire time. Yeah, so when Douchebag ditches Cowboy the whole time, small boy, who's like 11 in the movie. When Cowboy goes back home to the ranch with Mom and Mule and Twister, which are ranch hand names in this movie, not a joke, those are actual names of the characters, Douchebag has to help out Cowboy and his family. And the problem there, he literally falls in shit numerous times over.
Almost gets mauled by a bull.
Yeah, he almost about to get gored.
Almost gets trampled by a stampede.
He goes through it. Also, his girlfriend gets so upset and calls him at night and almost gets him killed because of that.
In her defense, she didn't know.
He was trying to explain some stuff. It's not a good movie. It's an A for me.
Yeah. The problem is not, like, you know, the performances. It's just the writing is just very basic and one-note, which is very weird, considering the writers of this went on to write the Conjuring film series. Not a joke. And it's very weird knowing that information and seeing this. I don't know how you go from this to that, but good for them. But, like, the characters are very one-note. There's not a whole lot to them. You know what their arcs are going to be. I don't really care about their relationship. There's a whole thing, like, where Cowboy freaks out that Douchebag finished his treehouse that he and his dad were going to finish. That's the only time it's ever mentioned. It's never brought up again. It's never apologized for or anything. So, like, why?
The director made Brink.
And there's a cameo of Brink in the movie.
There absolutely is.
When Cowboy goes to Douchebag's L.A. home, he's got this big, giant TV room. He turns the TV on, and Brink is playing.
Which, that's fun, because they have the rights to use it and stuff. Yeah. And we would not notice that if we hadn't watched beforehand.
That's true.
So that's good for us, then. There's also a line in this where Michael is talking to his girlfriend, who is also kind of the worst, too. She's not that bad, but she's not helpful or understanding.
Did he ever, like, actually break up with her at the end?
No, he abandoned his school, his family, and everything to move in across the country. We'll get into that in a minute. But Michael / Douchebag is talking to his girlfriend and says about a class problem. And she says to him, what about your school credit? And he says, you're all the credit I need. Which,
that's not how it works.
That's not how school works. I think the school would disagree with you. You would fail that class then. I wrote at one point, Michael's law was a little bit off. It was not only off, his lines are out of sync often. It's a problem the entire film. There's scenes when they're outdoors and they don't have the outdoor room tone, and they can see they're trying to fill in space with, like, cars going by and stuff. It does not work at all.
No. It's so standard. It's so basic. I don't really have anything to say about it. Could little kids find enjoyment in this? Sure, I imagine that they could. As an adult, I'm just like, okay, I guess. This is happening.
If I
ha- There's no crazy sci-fi stuff. There's no insanity to it. It's so just normal.
It's not even, like, normal in a way that, like, High School Musical is normal but fun.
Yeah.
This is just, like, kind of bland.
Yeah. Like, again, even Genius, like, that's a fairly normal-ish kind of movie, but there's still a lot of insanity to it, both purposeful and not purposeful.
Okay, the last thing we watched was, I think, Don't Look Under the Bed. Then we go to this. Again,
like, that entire first 30 minutes is pure insanity.
And it's very fun. Also, if you want to keep up to date with what we watched, I posted on the GeekSpeak Twitter, I think it's pinned right now, of all our DCOM on the list. You can keep...
Please check some of them out, like You Lucky Dog. That's quite a film.
Yeah, if you want to watch some of the DCOMs, we could, You Lucky Dog, we gave a yay to that one, we gave a yay to Halloween Town, Can of Worms. He gave an A, I gave a yay to 13th Year. Smart House was wild. Don't Look Under the Bed, Genius, and Can of Worms might be the most fun ones to watch.
I wouldn't say Don't Look Under the Bed, because after like the first 30 minutes, it starts to go down a little bit.
But we were smiling for a long time.
Oh, completely. 100%.
This movie, though, there's a ranch that he goes to. Because their dad is dead there now, they don't have the money to keep the ranch. What is this? BVS and Justice League? With Ma Kent? Yes!
They don't even explain what... Like, I get it's a cattle ranch, but, like, you gotta, at least for the little kids, tell them what that is or how they make money from that. In this, just a small bit, at least.
Yeah, it's never explained. I think they just kill the cows and sell them meat. That's what it probably would... Sorry, young listeners. If you listen to us when you're young, though, why? We curse constantly.
They eat the cows.
I'm cutting that out. So, I guess they're doing an auction, and when that happens, Michael, the douchebag boy, runs up, takes a microphone from the auctioneer, and says, I have a solution. Trust fund, baby. No, it's like he has a...
No, before, it's like he sells his car, and then he takes out like most of the money from his trust fund, and he's gonna give it to his aunt and cousin to save the ranch, but they don't want that. And like,
they're too prideful, which makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, as a kid, you're just like, why the fuck would you do that? As an adult, it's just like, I can kind of understand that. But then, because he gets a D in his, whatever, his, what was the class?
It was like an econ class.
Some kind of econ class, but he got a D on his paper, but it was about specifically, like, loans and housing and, like, land property trust. Rights. Yeah, yeah, land trust. And there's some kind of loophole about land trust because there's wild horses on the ranch.
Right, and it's their actual home, as wild animals.
And so through that loophole, they get to keep the ranch and everything else.
Right, and he's like... I can save this place. I failed this paper. I know the answers.
I did research. Did you, though? Google, like, wasn't really around yet.
This movie's boring.
It really is. I mean, like, it wasn't putting us to sleep or anything, but, like...
It's fine.
Yeah.
I could keep watching and be fine.
Now, the sequel, on the other hand.
As Bueller pointed out last time on our last episode with him, which you guys should check out about his Dracula film.
Do it. Watch it. It's all good.
It's good. But he pointed out that he pointed out a sequel in this movie called Jumping Ship, which, as Josh told me, is about pirates.
It still stars these main two characters, but and I won't go into further detail, but pirates are involved. I don't know how we get from this to that, but it makes me excited.
And that one was made in, I think, 2002 as well, so we get to not too far in advance either. We're getting close. But there are 12 films in the year 2000, Josh, would go through.
One a month?
Well, we'll watch more than one a month.
No, I know that.
Oh, boy. Overall plot of this movie that we're missing. Anything, big here?
Not really, no. You must go work on the farm.
And
he goes in his Gucci boots.
He did.
And all white clothing. Again, do you know what a farm is, dude? Like... Literally, as soon as he steps off the plane, he's wearing a cowboy hat. Everyone around him is wearing a cowboy hat. Like, it's something. It's something in the air particles.
Of Montana.
Yes. Only Montana, specifically. Yep. I think the same thing happens in the Hannah Montana movie.
And Power of the Dog.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Exactly.
Nay.
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 Cool. Wasn't that a discussion?
It certainly happened. That's recorded, like, a week ago now?
Nah.
Probably like 4 days ago.
It was only like a few days ago.
I don't know, man. Time isn't real.
Look, I've been in severe back pain for the past several days. It's all been a phase. Phase? Phase? Words. Anyway, continue.
So we watched that, and now we have 12 in the year 2000 to go through.
Neat.
So the next 12 episodes will all be the same year. of DCOMs.
Neat.
Horse Sense happened. Now, today's main topic, since it's been about a month that we've done this before, usually there's a big gap of time. We don't do a huge main topic. Usually it's just like a news dump. We did it for episode 13. We did it for episode 9. Not 9, episode 6. And so we're doing it again. And another reason for that is because our only real topic idea for main topic was Morbius. And neither of us really wanted to talk about that for an hour. Morbius movie. So Josh, you get your Morbius news.
Oh, joyous fucking day.
One of three pieces of news that we actually have about Morbius.
Even better.
Yeah, before we get into the news overall, before we get to talk about our thoughts on Morbius, Jared Leto!
Again, I reiterate what Nikhil said. I hate Jared Leto.
Here's the thing. I hate Jared Leto. So he refused... like his character has a condition where he can't use his leg. He has like arm crutches for most of the movie. But for when he's not vampire-y. And to stay in character, Jared Leto refused to not use crutches when walking to the bathroom. It slowed down production so much, they had to compromise and give him a wheelchair instead.
See, that's not a method acting. That's being a douchebag.
That's ruining the film even more than already was being ruined by everything else going for it.
I hate method acting. And
just act.
Exactly.
You're only method acting for assholes. No one's like, oh, I'm going to hold the door open for everyone to be method acting. No one does that. Do that instead.
It's because it's not a tortured soul. It's not going to get them an Oscar if they're nice.
Morbius is in theaters right now nationwide. You can see it.
Hmm?
Nay on that piece of news.
Most things with Jared Leto is a nay.
So we do also a system of yay or nay. So we don't, because film and media and art is all subjective, and our thoughts don't really matter besides just two white guys bullshitting here.
I will constantly break the rule, though.
The whole point is to give it just more of a general how we feel at something, and less of this is actually as good or bad, and more just, for us, how do we interpret this piece of whatever. And then Josh says, that sucks, that's terrible, that's awful. I'm like, Josh, the one rule!
It's still my opinion, though.
You're not wrong. So this film, I would agree, is less than optimal.
That's a generous way of saying.
I think it is absolutely, at best, at worst, throw it away. Please throw it away. Is that a good range of bad to you?
Look, this film makes no sense, and not in a good way. Like, it's been 2 years since this film was supposed to come out. Now, keep in mind, that's 2 years of being able, of it just sitting on the shelf. For some reason, Sony was just like, let's re-edit this. Let's cut out who knows how much of this movie was cut out. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. But it feels like there is just stuff missing to make this story make sense.
Yeah, there's genuinely a scene just missing or dialogue doesn't make sense. There's a scene that really bothers me because it's such an easy dialogue tweak you just do. And it's, there's someone curing something. And another doctor says to them, but at what cost? Implying there's danger, but to their knowledge, there's no danger to what he's doing.
The first 30 minutes, which that part is in,
really rough.
It just starts, it goes, but not in a good way. His whole backstory of his childhood, when he meets Matt Smith's character, like... I kid you not. In one shot, we have Morbius and Matt Smith as children in one location. You cut to Morbius on the right. He's wearing the same outfit. Then you cut to Matt Smith on the left. He's wearing a completely different outfit. It's a different time of day, but it's not edited in a way that makes it seem like that. It makes it seem like the conversation is still going.
There's a lot of weird editing choices too in this movie. The visual effects needed work still.
I feel like the effects got worse over these 2 years. Like, they purposely made it worse.
The vampire effects look better at night than they do in the day. They also look better...
Until towards the end.
Yeah. They also look better when it's on Leto, not Matt Smith, because the facial shape is different.
Yeah.
He looks more like a zombie than a vampire.
When Leto first turns into the vampire version of himself, like, it's fine. It's nothing amazing, but it's nothing terrible. It's fine.
Also, when they first have Morbius turn into a vampire, they shoot the second half of that scene fantastically where you don't really see it in the shadows, like a horror scene. The first half, you see him, and it's not at all as cool, because you see the transformation. Like, Incredible Hulk did a great job of his first scene being a horror-like scene. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just thinking about the Hulk line in this.
Oh my god.
I'm hungry. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
Anyway, I'm not going to talk about the movie too much. It's a nay from both of us.
It is a hard nay for me. It's not at Suicide Squad levels of bad. But it's not a Fantastic Four levels of bad. It's somewhere in between. I think Fantastic is better than this, and you can quote me on that. Now, I want to reiterate, also not good.
I don't think this movie needs to exist. But hold on. I don't think this movie...
The best thing about seeing this movie, it was like us and like 12 other people in the theater.
All
spread
out.
We were laughing our asses off the whole time. Everyone else just like was just like, I don't know how to react to this movie.
There were about two genuine jokes that were trying to jokes in the movie that actually worked. Most times we laughed were not from the jokes in the movie.
No. And that stupid line of where Morbius says, I am Venom, they don't even keep the punchline that's in the trailer where he's just like, I'm just kidding, it's Dr. Michael Morbius. It just cuts.
An improv line from Jared Leto.
It's terrible. It makes no sense.
I will say the best moment in the whole film is from Matt Smith is not the problem in this movie.
He is not. He is trying, but I don't know if he is genuinely
There's
trying.
There's a perfume ad in the movie.
There is a perfume ad. And that's
not
all
literally.
That's all we will say.
It's not. It's the way it shot, the way it felt with Matt Smith doing something in the film. Also, here's my favorite line in the whole movie, and the way he says it, it's, I have risen, I am the resurrection. Just like that. And it's beautiful. It made me burst out laughing. I'm like, are you trying to be sexy with your things right now?
I'll give the director this credit.
Blame him entirely?
I don't know who to blame for this. I genuinely don't.
On to other news, since we have about 25 pieces of news to go over.
Oh my.
On the back of Marvel things, Josh. Positive things. First things first. Shawn Levy, director of Free Guy and The Atom Project, and much of Stranger Things, is officially in talks to direct Deadpool 3, starring Ryan Reynolds for the MCU, coming from The Hollywood Reporter. Cool with that idea?
I love Free Guy. I really liked The Atom Project. They work very well together, so I'm very curious to see how this will go.
And Stranger Things is great, and he does a good job directing the episodes, the characters. So, I'm very curious to see how this will be.
I just think it's funny seeing him go from directing the Night at the Museum movies to Deadpool 3.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Yay?
Yay.
This is a positive thing for you, Josh. A show you've watched is renewed for another season. Abbott Elementary is renewed for season 2.
I'm very fine with this.
I've never seen an episode of it.
I keep telling you to
I've
watch
seen
it.
Clips of it while you're watching it.
It's very fun.
It looks
very
fun.
Good.
Worth watching?
Very much so.
Is it a yay from you?
It's a very much yay.
I'm giving you a nay to piss you off.
Why?
To piss you off.
That's not... You're also making other people mad.
Look, y'all. We don't need more TV.
I do agree. We have a lot of TV right now.
We
but
can
this
pause
is,
TV shows for a minute.
But this is a very good TV.
A good TV?
Yes, a good TV.
A solo television set?
Correct. Only for that one show.
All right. Other TV news, though. You like this show. I've liked this show for what I've watched. Harley Quinn.
Ah.
Heroes Don't Do That. That show itself, Harley Quinn, which is a really fun show starring Hayley Cuoco as Harley Quinn.
It's fantastic.
Animated show on HBO Max. Started on DC Universe, right? But then that fell. A new spinoff is coming from that show called Kite Man. And they're developing a whole show around the character of Kite Man. Who, if you don't know who Kite Man is... his catchphrase is, hell yeah.
It's great.
He's in love with Poison Ivy. And he flies on a giant kite.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He is the best, and this is a very good thing.
It's going to be ultra hard R, looks like.
That doesn't surprise me.
With more cartoon violence. This is news that comes from Collider, and when talking about the show during the panel, Schumacher said he tries to run the bar by himself, but it doesn't turn out so easy. What bar? Is there a bar in this? Oh, he's running a bar now.
Yeah.
The series is currently titled Noonan's and would center around Kite Man after he buys Noonan's bar. This is an iconic hangout spot for the criminal underworld in Gotham City, and the location itself first appeared in the Demon Annual in 1993. And so he'll run the bar, he'll try to do it by himself, does a terrible job with it, and he says we'll have Harley and Ivy appear in the first episode, but after that we'll have different goons and villains appearing every episode, like Lex Luthor or Bane. It'll be kind of like Cheers for supervillains.
Great
idea.
That
sounds really fun.
I love that. But I would highly recommend watching Harley Quinn.
If you can handle extreme, like, graphic animated violence.
It's fine.
So, yeah, I'm just giving that little warning to people.
He was like, ah, there's some brains. That's neat.
Yay?
Yeah, you say yay?
Yay! Hey, you've watched Morbius.
Oh, goody, we're back on the Morbius train.
No! Hold on! The Spunk universe, the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters, is what they're calling it still, has more things, because Madame Web, as a movie was announced, starring Dakota Johnson, and now Euphoria star Sydney Sweeney is also going to be joining the film. I have not watched Euphoria. The show is, what I see, it seems like nudity, drugs, and yelling.
He has walked in on the most random scenes when I have it on in the room. It's great.
I love the gay dad. I don't know what his name is. The dad who's no, I am who I am. I don't have no context besides random TikToks, memes on the internet, and one scene I watched with Josh watching it. That's my impression of Euphoria. Also, I didn't know Rue was the name of Zendaya's character until about a week ago. I don't know how Rue. My first thought is The Hunger Games. I know Rue was a character in the show. I thought it was Sydney Sweeney's character at one point. I thought it was another person's character at one point. Also, Jacob Elordi was at the Oscars hosting.
He was presenting an award next to Rachel Zegler. And he's just this tall giant, and then she's just down so far.
So I only know the gay man. That sounds weird. Oh, hold on. I don't know anyone's names in the show. I only hear sound bites and random clips.
I will recommend seeing the first season and two special episodes. You can skip season two. But Sydney Sweeney, good actress. And so I'm very curious what her role is going to be.
I love watching the chaos unfold from random frames.
In the first season, there are no bad actors. Everyone is doing a fantastic job. Second season, it's more so because of the writing, but overall, very good stuff.
Have you watched The White Lotus?
Not yet. I've been meaning to. I've been hearing really good things about it.
She's also in that.
Yeah.
And now she's ready to join Sony's universe of Marvel characters. Oh yeah, they did rewrite it. Sony's universe of Marvel characters.
Oh my god.
Which is Sunk.
Sunk.
Sunk. Spunk. Spunk sounds better than Sunk or Sunk.
It's all bad.
We do not know who she will play yet.
I've heard rumors of Spider-Gwen. I've heard Black Cat. I have no idea who she'll be, but I imagine a significant character because she's a famous actress.
And S.J. Clarkson is directing the film. They directed Defenders, Josh. And they directed Jessica Jones.
Okay.
So that's cool. That's a good director to get, I think, then. So yeah, they directed Defenders, Jessica Jones, Orange is the New Black, a part of it, and Life on Mars, part of it. So, that seems fine. Sydney Sweeney joining.
I'll give it a yay.
I'm going to give it a nay. I want Sony to stop.
Look, we know they're not going to stop.
I want the movies to be good. I want the movies to be good. Bare minimum.
I'm going to laugh my ass off if she's playing the classic old Madame Web and not the new younger one.
Miss Marvel trailer and release date happened. I think it's coming out June 8th now.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer looks fun. It's aimed at high schoolers or younger audiences, which is not a bad thing at all.
It's the first true, like, thing from Marvel made for kids.
That's fine.
I'm excited.
My fear of the powers came true, but also we haven't watched the whole show yet, so they might say, she's actually going to get her powers anyway, the way we saw in the comics. Who knows? I really hate the power change as of right now. It goes against the character so much. But I haven't watched the whole show. I'm giving the trailer as a whole tonally and stylistically a yay, so I don't get upset too fast. Other than that, it looks fun.
As listeners know, I don't read comics. I don't know anything about anything. So for me, I'm excited. I know about the whole power thing.
No, but it's like that's a superhero's power is a part of the identity. Like if you said Spider-Man can no longer climb walls or swing from webs again, it's like then that's the whole thing. Or if you said it's the Hulk, instead of whenever Bruce Banner gets mad, now he shoots fireballs. Like, that's just, that changing as one of the powers is who that superhero usually is. Like, as in their core. So it's really weird to do that with anyone. The writer purposely made it so they would never have sparkly purple powers as a point, because they wanted a female character who didn't have energy blast powers for once, and don't change powers of anyone, because that's, like, literally who they are in comics. Anyway, the trailer looks very fun. I love the style of the actual show itself. And June 8th. That's kind of soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Content. Yay for more content with good actors. Yay. Scream 6, Josh. Set to release March 31st, 2023, according to Best Cinemanistic. I don't have the name of the website it's called, but it's that thing happening. You cool with it?
Sure.
I have no idea what they're going to do with Scream now. Moving on, but they keep making good ones. So, like, I'm not angry at it.
As long as they have a good idea and that makes sense for it to continue, then I'm fine with it.
Call it Scream 6, though, please.
Call it Scream 2, just to piss me off.
Because the Scream 2022, just like, wait, how does it call it Scream, makes so much sense in the context of the film, and it's like a meta thing they do with the film. Great way to do that, but it's so annoying. I like Scream. I want more Scream.
Watch me call it Screaming.
Scream, even more Scream. Scream, colon, shout! Scream, colon, yell! Scream, kicking and screaming. The sequel to Kicking and Screaming! Anyway! Yay to Scream 6 being announced when the releasing dating is?
Sure, why not?
Jack Black is returning as Po the Panda.
That's neat.
It is, right? I think it's pretty cool. Do you like Jack Black?
I do!
How many panda films did you watch?
I've seen them all.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen the first two. I like the first one a lot better than the second one.
I love the second one.
I should rewatch it. I'll watch all three of them. I have the third one I know the spoilers of. I have been around.
The third one I really liked it when I saw it in theaters. I own it. I just need to rewatch it.
This was an announcement from Netflix Family, and also responded to was on Twitter. Also responded to by DreamWorks Animation, and the full quote is: "Get ready for pandemonium! No better way to celebrate National Panda Day than by announcing Jack Black's return as Po in the new animated series Kung Fu Panda: The Dragon Knight."
I love how even though DreamWorks is now owned by Universal, that this is not going to Peacock. This is going to Netflix.
It's a better idea. Yay! I like Jack. It's not for me. I'm not putting on a show.
I will watch it, but Netflix has had a lot of troubles over the years of making an actual good show, kids show, like that is good. The only recent one that I've seen that is genuinely like clever and is funny is oddly enough the Cuphead show.
I don't care about the show, but not in a bad way. Like I'm not gonna watch it. I like the first Kung Fu Panda. The second one's fun, but I'm not. These aren't made for me. I'm a 22-year-old adult. This is not the target demographic, and that's fine. This is a fun character, and more kids can keep enjoying it. I'm cool with it. Yay, yay,
yay.
According to Looper, the site / YouTube channel / Instagram, you know, the media place, Looper. Looper's also a movie, which I still haven't seen.
It's a good movie.
But the Looper Twitter account place, Sam Jackson, my tooth.
This whole part.
Samuel L. Jackson is a man.
Correct.
He has confirmed that Don Cheadle will return as Rhodey / War Machine in the Secret Invasion show.
Will it be a 1 minute appearance and he gets another Emmy nomination?
Oh my god, that was so funny. It's gonna be another 6-episode show. Mm-hmm. All the hour long episodes. And they're shooting in Europe, in London.
Neat. That's London cool. Has British people in tea.
Yay on War Machine.
Yay.
Paul Dano is a man with who played in the movie The Batman.
Correct.
Paul Dano is set to write for DC's Black Label comic series, a limited series, about Riddler Year One set in Matt Reeves' universe.
So he's writing it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's all him writing it.
Oh, good for him.
Written by him and Steven Subic, and who's also another comic creator.
He wrote and directed some movie with Carey Mulligan and Jake Gyllenhaal. I heard it was really good.
So it is a 6-issue bi-monthly limited series to launch in October of 2022. Yeah, it's really cool. I'm excited to see how this goes.
I can never remember. Is bi-monthly, is that every other month, or is that twice a month?
So same with bi-weekly, it can be either or.
Wonderful!
As this fellow, his version of Edward Nashton in the movie The Batman, and his first becoming Riddler.
Me?
Yeah. I'm fine with this. It's interesting seeing an actor who, because usually in acting you have to do a lot of character work, so now you can actually put that to use and say, hey, here's my character, here's my thoughts about the character.
But you're telling me that this is going to be a comic and not a spin-off show?
I know, insane, right? It's already having 2 more spin-off shows, though.
That is true. Which is just, again, this goes back into, there's too much TV.
This one's a comic, though, Josh. Yay on Paul Dano writing about his character?
Sure.
Hopefully it doesn't get too weird, because that character's already a little weird. Who knows? It's going to get pretty weird, isn't it?
Probably.
Oh, boy. Prepare
for the weird.
Yay! Yay?
Yay.
Speaking of DC, my voice sounds like Jerry Seinfeld in the B-movie.
Hey!
Hey! This is my new impression I'll do every episode. Ah! What is up with the cars?
The cars and getting coffee in them, you know.
No, you know. In the B-movie, all the cars are chaotic, but it still works out just fine. Ah! Don't sting someone!
Anyways,
I'm sticking with this.
please don't.
Now we have more Morbius news, Josh.
Oh, goody. I can't wait.
This is about Leto. I'm so sorry. This is about Leto wanting Morbius to meet Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man via Screen Rant as an article. And he said that would be so fun. He also wants a character to meet Venom, which probably will happen.
That makes more sense. I hate it, but it makes more sense. But him saying he wants him to meet...
Spoilers for Avengers Endgame and everything past that point.
Him saying he wants to meet Iron Man shows that he has not seen the goddamn movie.
Tony's dead.
He's deader than dead.
He's, like, dead. Not coming back there. So, if he wants to meet him, that means Morbius is dead, too. I'm fine with this. Give Matt Smith the franchise. That'd be more interesting.
It would be.
But...
I just want to go back onto the Morbius tangent. There was no point in casting Leto. He was given nothing.
He didn't add anything.
He was given nothing. Like, at least, like, I don't like him as Joker. At least he was doing something with it.
Right. Like, and he was great in Dallas Buyers Club. He was great in Dallas Buyers Club because, like, it was things there for him to do with. But here, he was given nothing to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to say yay because I think it's fucking hilarious. Just the idea of him saying this is a yay to me because he does not care, does not actually watch these movies. Just thought, oh, that'd be fun. Maybe he watched the first Avengers and that'd be fun.
I just want a House of Gucci sequel just about his character.
Just Paolo.
Even though he's dead.
Spoilers.
It's based on a real life thing.
I know.
You can't spoil real life.
Yay or nay on this piece of news that he wants to meet RDJ's Iron Man.
Can we stop giving... if I say nay, does that mean that he stops getting voice out Alice for his voice?
What?
Just him, I just wanted to shut up.
Gibberish, shut up. Love it. Agreed. On a different note, also Marvel-related, though, Elizabeth Olsen, this is a Screen Rant article, has confirmed that WandaVision will not get a second season. It's going to stay a miniseries. And I'm so happy about that.
I'm fine with this.
It does not work with more seasons going on. The story itself would not make sense if you continued it.
Like, the other shows, yes, I can see them continuing. But, like, this one, no. It's weird they start out by announcing their miniseries, but then, like, we all know that, realistically, they'll get more. Either movies or second seasons.
Yay, endless news.
Yeah.
Barry K.
He is Irish, we are American, we can't pronounce your guys' names right. We are
I'm
sorry.
So sorry. Barry K-E-O-G-H-A-N. Spoilers for The Batman. Skip ahead to the next timestamp, next news piece. Please skip ahead if you're not seeing The Batman. It actually is a spoiler. You gone? His Joker, or proto-Joker, we have a full lead scene for now. And I'm glad it was cut out. It's an interesting piece, but it does not help the overall film.
It's very similar to other things that we learn in the film, so it's not necessary, but I do love seeing that this is, not only, you know, is Joker crazy like he always is, but he clearly has
history
with Batman, and he's also, he has a higher intelligence than, like, most of the other Jokers that we've seen.
I love the line of it being an anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, anniversary of what specifically? That's what I want to know. Like, is it their first interaction? Is it when he's put in jail? Because that can be a lot of, or when he became in the acid from, like, the Red Hood to that.
My question is how much of, his, like, you know, his facial scarring, how much of that is from Batman?
Because it is a deleted scene, the look doesn't have to be permanent, so they can actually get audience reaction now and see if when he comes back, what will stay or what won't. Or he's still healing.
My guess is that plastic surgery will be involved in some way or fashion.
Because I also want him to have more hair than that. It's a little, I know they did it in Gotham with Cameron Monaghan's Joker. I don't like it look either, this blotchy hair and stuff. Maybe maybe the acid was fresh. He's still growing back.
Mm.
Maybe he wasn't fully joked. Maybe it was before the anniversary of...
There's a lot of ways that they can work around stuff and change stuff.
I like the laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I want a bit of a classier Joker look. I want a bit of the sleek suit and the slick back hair again. Not Leto. I'm not asking for Leto. I'm asking for closer to the Mark Hamill animated series look at some point. So we haven't gotten close to that since Nicholson. And it'd be cool to see. Also, this version of Joker, according to Reeves, similarly to Nicholson, has a permanent smile in his, like, was born with that. Also interesting to do that. Cool. The scene as a whole, yay or nay for you?
I give it a yay, but I am happy it wasn't in the final film.
Yeah, I give it a yay. I like interaction a lot. I don't know if the dialogue is fantastic, some of it, but it also it's cut for a reason. Like, there's reasons that it's not, we're not treating it as part of the film right now, just like, as a fun little piece, what is it like for us? I love seeing the Joker in general. I know it's like a very dude bro thing to say. It has nothing to do with, like, appraising this character. I just have always been attracted to the comic book character, mostly because Mark Hamill, originally, and then other fun cartoons and stuff made me think the character was fun.
I've always found Joker to be an interesting character in multiple different mediums and the different ways that he's portrayed. Now, do I think that he is, you know, someone to idolize? Or do I think the Joker movie is the greatest thing ever made? Dear God, no.
That's a good movie, though.
It's a good movie. But I'm not going to stand there and act like that it's better than Parasite.
I definitely enjoyed that film. But I also know it's just a ripoff of two other films.
Yeah.
And so you can recognize that and still enjoy the comic book aesthetic they had with it. I do appreciate it with Barry Kay's Joker, though. That it's not makeup. I'm so fucking tired of the you know already. I hate the makeup look for Joker. Make it actually bleached skin with weird scar. Do that, because that way, the whole point is he's permanently clown. Like so good. Something happened, Josh. I didn't think it would ever happen. A true miracle for Marvel. Wakanda Forever wrapped filming.
That movie, we've talked about this many times, has had such a... it's been in production hell for a long time. I think what's great about knowing that it's wrapped filming and all the problems that it's happened before, there's no way to be able to guess what this film is going to be like. It's impossible to guess.
All we know is that Winston Duke was given a bigger role and a bigger pay raise. So.
And that's all we know. But like, that's not enough to go off of. Like, no. You know, exactly what will that be?
That doesn't mean he's going to become Black Panther. He could be, but that's not what it means.
Exactly. So I'm very curious to see what this will turn out to be.
Yay on wrapping filming. I'm giving this a big yay.
Making movies is hard. That film has had a lot of problems for a long time now.
But also, as our friend Bueller always says, give yourself permission to make something bad. Like, to make a film, if it happens about this point, just say you're dunked. It's over. You've done what you needed to do. You've done what you could have done.
I think Ryan Coogler.
What?
I can't work.
Coogle?
I think Ryan Coogler just needs a hug. He's just been going through for these past few years.
For the record, that's the director of the film, not just some random person. If you don't know who that is.
To any other Ryan Cooglers out there, if you need a hug, please get a hug.
Also, if you are a Ryan Coogler listening to us right now, email us at podgeekspeak@gmail.com. Tell us.
We won't record it if you have things to rant about. It will be off the record.
Yeah, we'll give you a virtual hug. It's great. Also wrapping shooting things is Batgirl Wrapped Shooting, the HBO Max film right now. I hate that's only HBO Max.
Don't get me started on that.
Yay on that as well. I'm glad it wrapped shooting. We got Brendan Fraser back as Firefly.
I'm so happy.
We have Leslie Grace as Batgirl.
The cast of that movie is great.
We have J.K. Simmons back as Jim Gordon.
And Michael Keaton as Batman, which raises so many questions.
So, did you hear about, I think I put it in our Twitter chat, about the potential thing with Michael Keaton and Matt Reeves, the Batman, about their leaning in toward maybe a crisis story, and...
Please don't.
Okay, so, don't. We don't...
I know!
There's a
I
rumor remember. Right now that of a leaked email, I don't know if it's true or not, but the idea is they're keeping Keaton for a few films, then they're going to lead up to a Crisis on Infinite Earths film, and in that film, they will kill off Keaton and make Pattinson their new Batman permanently.
They do know that to make a crisis story effective, they do need Flash.
Yes.
There's a couple problems with that that has happened recently.
Watch them use Grant now.
They might! I think that DC needs to get their shit together, and this is not the way to get their shit together.
I think that's the best way to get their shit together, honestly, because that what because DC, whether they have a fuckery in the universe, they fix it in a universe like this. And I'm fine with that. It's convoluted as fuck, and I love it. It's messy, it's weird. It is that poster.
I think if, say, this happens before the Batman sequel comes out, you go from the Batman, and then in the Batman sequel, you just have, like, Supergirl flying all over the place, Flash is just meeting up with him, like, it's just like, hold on, what the fuck is going on right now?
But that's not the news right now. The news is about wrapping filming on Batgirl. And J.K. Simmons said he had a lot of big part in this. Also, end of Jim Gordon at home, which I think is very fun. We get to see him actually be, like, at his home, being the father to Barbara Gordon. Which...
I just want the depressed alcoholic Jim Gordon from the Harley Quinn show. I love it so much.
Yay, on the wrapping shooting, I'm so excited to see Brendan Fraser as Firefly.
I'm just excited to see Brendan Fraser in general.
Yeah, he deserves the world. Anyway, Josh.
Hi.
This note, everyone just says, Ezra Miller doing shit. It has to be mentioned because this affects numerous film franchises that are under our wheelhouse of nerddom. Ezra Miller also pronouns they, them, theirs, it's. If you're going to address Ezra Miller, use the proper pronouns.
It's so funny that we have more Ezra news. And the last time that we had news about them, we cut it. Because very shocking.
Last news we had about Ezra Miller was about them threatening the KKK. Like a specific branch of the KKK. Going off
and no, saying... No context.
No context at all. They're saying that Ezra was going to murder them. And, like, go off.
If you just, like, look up Ezra Miller KKK, it'll bring up the video.
But this... Ezra Miller is arrested for disorderly conduct and harassment while in Hawaii. So, let's just break this down a bit. According to a post by the County Police Department, where it happened, Ezra yelled obscenities, grabbed the microphone from a 23-year-old woman singing karaoke, and then lunged at a 32-year-old man playing darts. That's how it started. Ezra Miller, when running out of the karaoke bar, shouted, "I know Del Moro's secret," and the fact that they did that is phenomenal. There's more. I'm not done. Let's see. This is kind of the back of them winning an Oscar, sort of. There's an Oscar cheer moment at the Oscars.
Oh my god.
I know you hate it, but it's relevant to this. They won an Oscar for the Oscar cheer moment for, not then, like, the moment happened where the Speed Force moment in Zack Snyder's Justice League, and then, like, 2 days later, this happens. Which, great timing, Ezra. Also, they broke into someone's hotel room and harassed them and attacked someone, I think, and then left again. Ezra, stop doing shit.
So this is
also bad. About 2 years ago in 2020, they choked a woman out, and that's all we've heard about it.
I think that because that also happened in a bar. This happened in a bar. It might be like an alcoholism problem. And again, no confirmation at all, no speculation, but it could be something. We don't know.
We're bringing it up because it. For Fantastic Beasts as a series, they have already changed one of their lead actors with Johnny Depp for far less in terms of actual arrests. Those were mostly just PR things, and now this happened. And Ezra being one of their actual main leads.
In a definite prominent role.
Especially going forward. Fascinating.
And then The Flash.
And The Flash, which is coming out now.
A movie that has had more production problems than Wakanda Forever has had.
And they're in it twice as much as normally it would be, because there's two Ezra Millers in it.
And now the film has already been delayed to 2023 before this happened. So,
they can't, they're not going to reshoot anything, They can't recast Ezra with this.
They might. They might, to save their own asses.
I don't think so.
It's either they reshoot and we get a new Flash, or they just release as it is and no Flash sequel. Considering by the time the movie comes out, it'll be almost a decade since it was originally announced. I don't think it's going to get a sequel.
Maybe three Batman?
We don't know. It's more Batman than Flash.
There's two Flashes. There's two Batmans. There's equal Batman and Flash in this movie, and they'll call it The Flash. Nay on this news, Ezra, stop. Stop spoiling Dumbledore's secrets.
I'm so sorry.
Ezra, you confuse me.
You are a great actor. Why are you doing this? If you have health and or mental problems, please seek out help. Please.
But nay on Ezra Miller's news.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is retiring from acting permanently for a health reason. He has a condition, pulling up what now it's called. It is called aphasia, and it affects his, he was diagnosed, and it affects his ability to recall his memory, which would affect acting for sure. And that really sucks.
Yep.
Great actor.
Yep.
Guess why I first saw them in. You're getting it wrong.
Hold on. I feel like it was an animated movie.
Rugrats Go Wild. He was the voice of Spike the Dog.
Oh my god, he was! Oh my god! What?
In a weird, like, hypnotic...
Yeah, I remember.
Uh-huh.
No, it wasn't weird hypnotic, because she can talk to animals.
That's right. It's pretty weird to me.
But yes, that was also the first thing I saw him in.
And then I saw him in Pulp Fiction, Sixth Sense, and other things, but that's really sad.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I wish that he had one last big film to go out on before he retired.
He filmed a bunch of, like, things this past year, but they are, like, strict duty stuff and all of that, so...
Most likely, probably for, like, bills and stuff.
I just had straight to DVD. Clearly it should be streaming, not deep. My bad. Words are hard.
They are indeed.
And now we're ending all this news, Josh, ending our main topic with the Oscars.
Oh, that's...
we're not mentioning the thing that happened.
That's already been mentioned by everyone.
Nothing we say will add or change anything. It doesn't, who cares what we have to say about that?
All we have to say is that this was a pretty bad year for the Oscars. Not the awards,
necessarily. The nominations were not bad.
But everything else surrounding it.
Best Picture nominees overall, not bad at selection.
Aside from Don't Look Up.
We talked about the Oscars when Nikhil was on.
Mm-hmm.
With the nominees. And now I've seen more of them. We can talk about the winners specifically. So, the winner of Best Picture was Coda, which I loved. I'm glad it won. I would have been fine with, like, half the choices for Best Picture, honestly, winning. Like, I wouldn't have been angry about most of them winning.
Same.
Will Smith won for Best Actor. I thought, have you seen King Richard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was really good in that. Like, again, like, with Best Pictures, all the actors that were nominated, I haven't seen Javier Bardem and being the Ricardos, but everyone, fantastic job. I would have been fine with anyone winning.
I really wanted Andrew to win. International feature film, Drive My Car. Not seen it yet. 3 Hours of Grieving isn't really my cup of tea. I'll probably watch it. It's just that's a hard one to sit through. Let's see. Ariana DeBose won Best Actress for West Side Story. Best Supporting Actress, mm-hmm. West Side Story. Awesome. And one of three things. Okay, so I told Josh this before. but only three characters have ever, in the Oscars, had multiple actors win an Oscar for the same character. Ariana DeBose and Rita...
Moreno.
What was that?
Rita Moreno.
She won, as well as Ariana DeBose, for playing Anita in West Side Story. The same character, same role, but many years apart. Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix as Joker, and De Niro and Brando in Godfather and Godfather Part 2. Same role. I think that's really amazing. I think it's funny that those three are the ones that's happened for. Cool. Best Director, love this win with Jane Campion for Power of the Dog. I wanted for Best Animated Film it to be Mitchells vs. Machines.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at Encanto winning.
I think it's, again, it's the effect of just release, like, when they released. Because Mitchells vs. Machines was in, like, April to May of 2021. Encanto was in November. And then social media stuff with, like, its music and stuff really gets into public consciousness.
Yeah. Good movie, though.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Bruno.
We don't.
Always in our head, though. I have not seen the Eyes of Tammy Faye. Have you?
I have not. I've heard that Jessica Chastain and Andrew Garfield were really good in it.
I have not watched, I don't think, any of the Best Actress nominees for the, not supporting, but for the actual Best Actress category. And that really sucks. As we saw with our 2021 recap, we watched mostly blockbusters this past year, like as a whole. And that's because that's what we do for the podcast also, so we go out of our way to watch those more. I was trying to catch up with the films, but we didn't get a chance. I have not watched The Long Goodbye or Summer of Soul either yet, but heard good things. And then Dune won 6 awards.
I'm fine with this.
Very, like, creative and technical awards, like best score, good score, best sound, which definitely deserved that win.
I've seen so many people say that, like, No Way Home should have won for effects over Dune. I'm just like, did we see the same movies? Like,
impressive effects on No Way Home.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not saying that the effects are bad, but compared to Dune.
Also, Cruella definitely deserved its win for best costume design.
They put in the effort on that.
That was great. Overall, the Oscars as a whole, in terms of, I'm talking about just the awards and the actual wins, not bad.
Not bad. Everything else, not great. Let's just say that the Academy really needs to pull their shit together before next year. But I'm going to laugh my ass off, but also be very pissed at the same time if they do what the Golden Globes did this year and just not air an actual ceremony.
The secret reveal!
The secret reveal. They didn't announce that it was happening. It just happened.
I really think next year we should have the Muppets be the hosts.
Please.
That's it. Not even, like, not people either, at all, just the Muppets themselves.
Either get the Muppets or Keanu Reeves. Two wholesome people, and it'll go fine.
In the actual awards, overall, yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not furious.
The ceremony itself, nay.
But yeah, at the Academy Awards, I'm giving the actual nominees and the wins overall, yay. There were some snubs, of course. There were some things that didn't get nominated that should have been nominated. That happens every year. But these were generally well-made or good films that got recognized. That's great. But Josh, Riverdale exists.
No goody.
You aware of that?
No.
You're not aware of Riverdale existing?
No. First time ever hearing of this.
Ah, a show, it's kind of weird.
I've heard.
And now the characters have superpowers.
Look, there, we know that there's, how best do I describe this? I think the writers already know the show is bad, so they don't care what they do with it at this point.
So they have powers. But fun fact, Archie is friends with superheroes in comics. So let's talk about how Archie has met the Punisher.
When did this happen?
Do you want an exact date? Like, hold on.
I'm just talking about a year.
1994.
That is way earlier than I thought it would be.
Earlier?
I thought it would be, like, the 70s.
Look at the picture. It helps, like, art-wise.
What?
He is. So do you want to know what this is about?
I have so many questions.
The genre is humor slash comedy. So, I bring this one up because I mentioned this casually to Josh the other day, and it happened. He's like, please make a super story. I'm like, cool, I'll do it next now. So Archie meets the Punisher, or the Punisher meets Archie. It's a one-shot comic book, an intercompany crossover written by Baden Lash, and with art by Stan Goldberg, John Buscema, and Tom Palmer. It was published jointly with Archie Comics and Marvel Comics in June of 1994. In the story, the murderous vigilante Punisher mistakes an all-American teenager, Archie Andrews, for a criminal he is hunting.
Great, love it.
When he realizes his error, he works with Archie to rescue Archie's girlfriend, Veronica Lodge, who has been kidnapped by the criminal he's looking for. An interesting premise alone with the Punisher.
I want John Bernthal to team up with KJ Apa.
In the Punisher show. Continue the show.
Make it happen.
In Riverdale or in Punisher?
I don't know which one would be funnier.
Do it in the same episode, but put it in both.
Yes.
So, there's a lot of things here that happened. Let's skip ahead to the actual plot itself. Well, we don't need much background on the characters, I'm guessing. You all know who the characters are. Probably they've been in the cultural zeitgeist for a very long time. So the plot of this. When a drug smuggler known as Red becomes a fugitive after agreeing to return state's evidence to United States government, the government asks Punisher to locate and return him alive. Red escapes from Punisher in New York City, fleeing to Riverdale, where he adopts a new alias and uses his legitimate business interests to take shelter at the home of wealthy industrialist Hiram Lodge, Veronica's family, who is unaware of Red's criminal history. Red draws the attention of Hiram's teenage daughter, Veronica, because his appearance is very similar to her frequent suitor, Archie Andrews, because red hair. To get back at Archie for accidentally ruining their date to the school dance that night, Veronica asks Red to take her instead. Get ready, Josh. Meanwhile, Punisher and his partner Microchip, that is the actual thing, track Red to Riverdale and are cynical about the town's innocent demeanor. They both hate it. It's too charming.
You know what's great about this is that Riverdale now exists in the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, it always has. It's great. They see Archie with his friend Jughead Jones in an ice cream shop and believe him to be Red, because they look too similar. While they are observing him, some thugs from New York arrive and make the same mistake. The thugs know about Red's deal with the government and intend to kill him before he can testify. They abduct Archie and Jughead, prompting a car chase as Punisher attempts to rescue, quote-unquote, Red. After a car wreck, Punisher quickly realizes his error and lets Archie go. Punisher and Microchip continue to secretly monitor Archie, hoping the remaining thugs will make the same mistake and come into the open. Are you using him as bait now? They're using Archie as bait to get more thugs?
Teenage boy, go on about your days. Microchip, we're gonna make him bait.
As Red and Veronica arrive at the school dance, the real Red, Red is recognized by a stage worker and a low-level drug dealer, who, hoping to improve his standing among the cartel, calls them and tells them where to find Red. Punisher and Microchip, who have been monitoring the cartel, also head for the dance. Oh boy, ready, Josh?
Sure.
Meanwhile, Archie has told Veronica went to the dance with someone who looks like him, and realizing that she is with a criminal, he too goes to the dance. What are you going to do, Archie? What are you going to do here? Oh, look! A criminal with my girlfriend! Let's go over there and cause some hinky stuff to happen. What do you think will happen here, Archie? He's not very bright, is he?
No.
Punisher sneaks into the school. What a great sentence to start with.
I guess the big 6'3" muscular man with a giant skull on his chest sneaks into the school.
And realizes Riverdale truly is as innocent as it appears. Determined to prevent it from being corrupted by Red and other forces, he disguises himself as a chaperone, and while looking for Red, identifies the thugs who have dressed like caterers. As Archie arrives, the thugs mistake him for Red again and move in to kill him. Jesus Christ. It's like a 14 or 15 year old kid. It's like, I'm just having a time with my dance with my girlfriend. I'm getting murdered now. Is this insane to you, Josh? It's insane to me.
And I'm loving it.
Punisher uses non-lethal methods to disarm and incapacitate them and clears the misunderstanding with Archie, but Red escapes with Veronica as a hostage. Red forces Veronica to call her father for ransom, but she takes the opportunity to use code words to let Archie know that she's being held in a specific warehouse. How? How does that make sense? You're on the phone with your dad. Okay. Archie and his friends accompany Punisher to rescue her. At the warehouse, Punisher reveals to Red that the informant who called the cartel to the dance has agreed to testify, and Red is no longer needed alive.
Jeez!
During the next scuffle, Red accidentally triggers the automatic doors that open the warehouse roof and gets his foot tangled in a rope attached to a large parade balloon. As the balloon floats away with Red attached, Punisher considers killing him, but does not. My favorite sentence in the whole thing. It's like, never mind.
See, what would be great is, like, when the Punisher goes to Riverdale, he tries to actually, like, murder someone, either by gun or, like, you know, with his hands, and he just physically can't. Like, the world he's in prevents him from doing so.
Your wife is getting even more confusing.
Good.
Before leaving Riverdale, for Gotham City.
What?
Which is not in Marvel at all.
What?
The next morning, Punisher and Microchip say goodbye to Archie and his friends. That's all we know. Why is Gotham in this thing? Because it's a Wikipedia article, so someone could have edited that, but I really hope they didn't edit that.
But it was also in the 90s, and wasn't that when the Marvel-DC crossover happened?
Probably. This is actually... This is between the companies of Marvel and... What? Archie Comic. I guess it's just Archie. So I don't know what happened here, but that's the story. There's a lot more about background development, which you don't need to get into right now, since it just gets bogged down about how hard it was to create this story to exist. But, wild. Since Archie meets the Punisher happened, Archie characters have had a tradition now of team-ups with characters from fictional universes. Including Archie meets Kiss. Archie meets Glee. Archie versus Sharknado. Archie versus Predator. Archie and Batman. So I think we should tell more of those stories later on in life, too.
Jeez.
I think out of all those things that's funniest to me is Archie meets Glee. Because that's like a real human being. That's like... Also, Archie versus Sharknado. How do you win? How is there in an actual fight? You would lose.
Just gotta punch the Sharknado really hard.
So... If you're new to this, what I just talked about was a super weird story in the podcast, which is why I go through a different story in comic books or superhero culture and talk about a story that involves something along those lines that have been published either under a comic book medium or about a comic book character. Although there's a gray area where it's just batshit weird. Also fun, like last episode about Swordsman, go check it out. It is maybe my favorite one we talked about so far. That was also the guest, Bueller, and that was amazing. So, we also have a new email for the podcast. Everyone, send in your comments, questions, concerns, requests, or anything. If you want to make us a fun theme song, or if you want to make us fan art of Josh as being silly, do that. You could do that at podgeekspeak@gmail.com. And we have a new email. It's a much smoother email than last time, podgeekspeak@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at #geekspeakpod on Twitter, or @geekspeakpod on Twitter. Josh, where can people find you?
Oh, God.
Warning, Josh has no brand consistency at all. Everything's a very different name.
Look, it happens, okay? Because everything is not made around the same time. But, YouTube at Josh Rudolph. TikTok at Rudy_thefilmnerd. Twitter at J_Rudy28. And Instagram at J_Rudy16.
You can find me on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd, or you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at ThatNerdInTheater. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Please stick around and come back next time for next episode with another guest. Thank you all. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.